Good afternoon. My name is Adelia Huang. I am a hearings officer, and this is case number 318-0012. And this is an appeal requested by Mr. Trent Ford. The time right now is 1:30 in the afternoon. It is March 1st, 2018. There is a representative here on behalf of the city. Will you please identify yourself for the record?
Yes, Christy Keller, K-E-L-L-E-R, with the Bureau of Transportation.
Okay, and let's see here. And I am noting that Mr. Ford is not present, nor is anyone here on his behalf. Ms. Keller, have you happened to have any occasion to talk to him about today's hearing and any inkling as to whether or not he plans to attend?
No.
Okay. At this point, I am taking a look at the file to see if any notice was provided about this appeal hearing. And I do note that Mr. Ford did submit this appeal hearing request form with my office, the hearings office, on February 9th. It looks like it was submitted in person. I do see that Exhibit 4 is a notice of a hearing, which was mailed out on Friday, February 9th, 2018. It correctly states today's date, time, and location for the hearing, as well as the fact that hearings begin promptly. At this time, I do not see that any there is any evidence that this notice has been returned as undeliverable, and I will now ask the hearings clerk if Mr. Ford has had any contact with the hearings office.
We have had contact with the appellant on February 13th. He called requesting information on how to reschedule due to his work schedule. And again on February 20th, he called asking steps for withdrawal. Was given instructions that anything would have to be presented in writing, and we've received no submissions.
Okay, so perhaps Mr. Ford has the intention of withdrawing his appeal. However, as indicated by the clerk, Mr. Ford has not submitted anything in writing to withdraw his appeal or any information requesting that the hearing be rescheduled. Because it does appear that adequate procedural notices of today's hearing have been provided to the appellant, we are going to go ahead and proceed with the hearing. Ms. Keller, did you happen to see any exhibits that were submitted into the record that you believe are irrelevant and I should exclude them?
Nothing that looks irrelevant other than his explanation.
Meaning that's his explanation is irrelevant?
Well, I guess to me it is. I think maybe there's a misunderstanding as to what the code says on his behalf, because his statement about why he doesn't think this is a valid penalty is to me invalid, because it has to do with him not reporting something to his work, but we don't have any control over that. We don't judge people on that.
Okay. Well, what I am going to do is I'm going to admit exhibits 1 through and including 9, and I believe your statement of your feedback regarding his written statement in the exhibit 1 is more about your opinion about whether or not his statement is valid, but okay. It is irrelevant to the hearing today, so we'll go ahead and proceed and get those documents admitted into the record. Do you have any questions before I place you under oath?
No.
Okay, please raise your right hand. Do you solemnly swear or affirm that the testimony you are about to give shall be the truth?
Yes.
Thank you. Go ahead, Ms. Keller. Please tell me why I should sustain or whatever your position is regarding the penalty notice or notice of immediate suspension, which is dated February 7th, 2018, marked as Exhibit 2.
Okay. So we found this is a TNC driver who was permitted by the TNC company. So when we did an audit and found that they permitted this driver even though he had some disqualifying factors, that's when we started the process of getting him offboarded. And so our suspension is related to his driving record. And we did find that he had two disqualifying factors. One is a driving-related suspension on his driving record that was issued by Oregon DMV. That was for failure to report an accident, so that is a driving-related suspension. And he also, because he was suspended for a period of time, does not have a 12-month period of uninterrupted driving history. So at this time, there's two reasons why this driver cannot be a permitted driver.
Okay. And I do want to make sure that I understand correctly what you were saying in response to the written statement that he submitted.
Sure. Well, my take on what this, what the appellant is stating and here is his reason for appealing is that he's stating that this is a penalty, which it's not, it's a suspension. But he's saying that the penalty has nothing to do with me driving my personal vehicle. It was a failure to report an accident on time with his job. And so I just wanted to clarify, if he was here for him, that the only thing that we're basing this judgment on is what is on his actual driving record that we have no control over. We can't make any changes to his driving record. So the Oregon DMV has placed a suspension on his record, and that's what we're looking at, is we're looking at a decision that was made by another authority, and then we are making judgments on whether or not that passes our qualifications.
So does it even matter if Mr. Ford was driving for the TNC or some other private for hire employer at the time as it relates to failure to report the accident?
No, it does not. Our city code states that we're looking at the driver's record, and it doesn't determine, we don't have to determine whether or not it was while they were driving a TNC or while they were driving their personal vehicle. So we're looking at their driving record as a whole. And so when I look at any driver, whether it's their criminal record or their driving record, it doesn't matter to me what they were doing while the offense happened.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. Is there anything else that you'd like to testify to before I see if I have any other questions for you?
No.
Okay. I just have a couple here. Let me see. So I did notice in the notice of immediate suspension that you had made a reference to City Code 164180, which you'd also referenced was taxi driver conduct.
Yeah, I
was a bit confused by that.
Yes, I agree. I did realize later that I had made a typo, that it should have been referencing sections 270 and 280. That was the TNC section of code.
And I do see that when you call out the reference, the actual provision, it does talk about TNC drivers rather than taxi drivers.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay, so because this is an immediate suspension, I need to go over whether or not the suspension is reasonably necessary to protect public safety. I did see that you base the suspension on both that a temporary suspension is necessary to protect the public safety, as well as that the suspension is necessary because at any time the permittee fails or no longer meets or complies with any section of this chapter. I think it's pretty clear from the evidence regarding why the decision or the suspension was based upon an allegation of a failure to comply with some of the provisions for TNC drivers. Mm-hmm. What about the necessity to protect public safety?
Well, this is my interpretation of what City Council has stated to me makes a TNC driver or a taxi driver safe to be on the road and to be permitted. And so what I've been told over and over again is that the decisions they made about what is a disqualifying factor are based on what they feel makes a safe and an effective driver. Mostly the word safe is the word that they use over and over. So when I look at whether or not a driver qualifies just based on their driving record or their criminal record, to me that is City Council saying he is no longer a safe driver because he is disqualified. Now, if a driver needs to be suspended because they were using obscene language or they failed to comply with my field audit, there's a various amount of reasons in our city code that we call those driver conduct. And so those are also reasons that we could suspend a driver. And in those cases, I would give somebody notice, a 10-day notice, give them the opportunity to write a letter before I suspended. But that's why I made the decision in this case to use an immediate suspension.
Okay. And yeah, let's talk a little bit more about your decision to not send a notice of proposed suspension. Let me pull up that city code provision here. So I'm looking at 1640-940, mm-hmm. and the specific provision I'm looking at is subsection D as well as E. It is a little bizarre that subsection D talks about notice requirements for revocations and suspensions, and then it goes on to just reference notices of proposed revocation, mm-hmm. while later on, even in that same section, it talks about a proposed suspension. So I'm just noting for the record that this code provision is inconsistent insofar as it talks in one sentence about a proposed revocation, but in the other sentence talks about the proposed suspension, and it's a little bit confusing for that reason.
Right.
However, it does say, if the director has reasonable grounds to impose a revocation based on any factor, the director will send a notice of proposed revocation. And then it talks about the written notice must include the following. And that's where it talks about the proposed suspension. So how I interpret this provision, subsection D, is it actually does relate to both revocations and suspensions. So my reading of this is that a notice of proposed suspension may have needed to be sent out before the actual suspension should become effective. What is your position on that?
Well, again, my position, and I think you're right, because the code does have some things that need to be cleaned up, and which is something we're going to do in April. We already have that on the record to go to council in April. But for now, the way that I'm looking at this, I feel like I have to make some interpretation or some judgment. And again, I went with what city council is telling me about, that they want the safest drivers, most responsible drivers on the road. And so I interpreted somebody's not meeting disqualifying factors, not meeting the standards on his driving record, as somebody not being safe. Yeah. That's why I went with immediate.
Okay. Under subsection F, the next subsection.
Yes.
Is there anything that you can direct my attention to that would help me understand your interpretation of something that's a violation that is related to public safety? I know you mentioned city council mm-hmm. had made some statements and communications. Are there like specific documents that you are referring to that I could potentially, that are public record that I might be able to take a look at?
I could certainly look and find something for you. The only thing that comes to mind would be, you know, the transcripts from the hearings,
okay.
because that's when, you know, the public records would be made of the council members stating those facts and what they believe to make the driver safe.
Okay. Yeah. Well, let's see here. I don't believe I have any other questions for you. Do you want to state anything else for the record before I close the hearing?
No, nothing further.
Okay. So because those documents at the council meeting minutes should be public record, there's no need for you to submit them. Plus, there's that issue with the record already having been closed. So if I need to, I'll take a look there to see what I can find in support of your argument if I need to go there. I'm not going to make a decision today, and I will get this out in the next couple of weeks. There is currently still that stay on the decision, so hopefully I can get that out sooner than later. So,
okay.
Thank you,
Great.
Ms. Keller.
Thank you.
The hearing's closed.